Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on the issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
So welcome to today's episode of New Cyber Frontier. Today's guest, George Nazare, is a consulting engineer or consulting systems engineer at FireEye, and he has a lot of good information today. We have he has a summary of the 2016 kind of hacking trends and how they're relating to what's going on this year. So this is real exciting here. Jeff, or George, I'll let you go ahead and give us an introduction on what it is that FireEye does and how you come about being able to put all this data together.
So at FireEye, you probably heard her name a couple times, or our company that we purchased called Mandiant.
Yes.
Mandiant is world-renowned for doing IR responses. If you own a company, hopefully you never see them, because that means something bad has happened. But over the past year, I mean, if you're watching the news, you're seeing things come up with hacking, you know, especially we saw some things with the election last year that came up. We see some things that, you know, for companies, some of the big ones that Mandiant has done over the years has been Sony, Home Depot, the OPM, if you're in with government and stuff like that. All those hacks, we went in, saw what happened, and, you know, saw what the criteria were and who the attackers were. Mm-hmm. One of the major things that put actually Mandiant on the board was the APT-1 report, which was out about 6-7 years ago, and that actually said APT-1, or the Advanced Persistent Threat Actor, was China. Mm-hmm. So since we put that out, as you'll see when we go through this trend report, we're getting to see the different actors. Now, we give them
changing.
Numbers.
It's morphing a little bit.
You know, you have China, you have Russia, you have Syria, and you have a bunch of other smaller groups out there that are trying to make a name for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
If you know, on the internet, okay, you can have a couple friends, you know, that go hacking, and they can look like a huge nation state on the internet. You don't need, you know, millions and millions of dollars.
You can be in the basement, just one or two people.
Yeah. Hopefully you can't take us over from that, but yes.
Yes.
And then also, if you get into the legal aspect, you know, there's really no UN for the internet. Mm-hmm. You know, US has their laws, China has their laws, Russia has their laws, and we'll see when we're getting into this how those laws actually come into play, that we might capture people, but since we can't take them from their country, you know, they're staying
no
over
impact.
There.
We can't do anything. So they're just over there thumbing their nose at us going,
pretty much, you know. If you see where Snowden's hanging out now, you know, he's not on the beach anywhere.
So. We all kind of know about that, but yeah, I don't think he's enjoying his cold winters.
No, it probably wasn't what the travel agent told him, you know, for going over there.
I hear you.
So a couple things that you'll see on some of the slides that'll be going up.
And I'll put these slides on the video version, so if you're not watching the video version, you might want to click over and do that.
Basically, what we're seeing is we have a lot of information on the U.S., because we are a U.S.-based and actually worldwide company, but the U.S. is a little ahead of everybody with security IR responses.
Okay.
We're seeing a little bit in Europe. Europe has
incident responses.
Incident responses, yeah. So after you've been hacked and you get that lovely knock on the door, hopefully you don't get it from the FBI saying, hey, we see something going on.
Mm-hmm.
Or your internal, your CISO or your chief information officer comes out and says, hey, we have this problem, you know, and you start seeing what's happening. Most of the time, like I said, the US is ahead of it. Europe has a little different rules with privacy and stuff like that, and what they can see and what they can't see. And then when you get into Asia, that's a whole new like wild west out there, because they're getting to the idea of saying, great, we have a network up and running, everything's happy. Oh wait, what's this security thing?
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing with the hacking groups, they try out in Asia and the Middle East first, and as like a practice ground or a training ground, and then they start coming against larger companies in either Europe or the US.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world.
Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
From what we're seeing, okay, there is some legislation going, mm-hmm. but it's very tough, you yeah. know, because most of the time we're fighting for us being the United States saying we want this, mm-hmm. and they're looking at it like, oh, you want to, you know, imprison our, you know, our citizens and stuff. Also, if you look worldwide, if you go to the Middle East and mm-hmm. Different parts of Asia, their internet's limited. You know, we have the unlimited package, you know, and I'm not saying the latest thing from your cell phone company. Mm-hmm. You know, we can pretty much go anywhere we want on the internet as a home consumer, mm-hmm. compared to if you go to China, they see a different version of Google. Or if you go to Qatar, they actually have one IP address that the whole country goes out of. So if they want to turn off the internet, it's a flick of a switch.
And they do that on purpose so they have a little bit more control from a governing standpoint.
Yes. If you saw when we were going after Bin Laden and all those tweets that were coming out, they were trying to turn that off on their country so we wouldn't actually make it out. Where if you see today on the news, you know, anything that happens in any city, you know, you get tweets going out, Facebook video, might even be doing it live mm-hmm. for people to see that, where these other countries, the government's completely controlling what they can see and what they can actually put out.
Interesting. So this circle here, this mm-hmm. is like overall what you're seeing from different countries, or this is different technologies?
So this is from, we did over 350 incident responses last year.
Okay.
Of those 350, roughly about 250 to 260 of them were in the U.S.
Okay.
All the rest were split up between Asia and Europe. So the chart you're seeing now is pretty much how that got broken down.
Okay.
You know, so what industries they were going into. If you see, it's kind of interesting here, the 9% government, that is state and local government. Okay. We can actually go out and help the federal government, you know, and the Department of Defense, but for some reason they, you know, like doing stuff on their own. And so going through here, you'll see the retail and hospitality, you know, that's more of your hotels. Mm-hmm. And if your credit cards got stolen from like the Home Depot hack or something like that, that's where that would fall into. Finances, that's more of like Visa, Bank of America, other
credit
local.
Credit cards
on those. Energy is when they're hacking into, and not necessarily stealing people's information, but stealing proprietary information or mm-hmm. IP. You know, if, so some of these other ones, you have businesses and professional services. You know, mm-hmm. these could be your designers. You know, the Sony hack would be under one of those that they were taking intellectual property, mm-hmm. because the movie's intellectual property until it actually, you know, goes live. Mm-hmm. Some of the other ones, healthcare. You know, we see a lot of Anthem last year was one of the ones that got hacked into, so they got a bunch of medical records there. High tech, that's a whole bunch of things, but that's pretty much Silicon Valley. Okay.
Gotcha. So a lot of people there looking for IP again, probably as well.
Yes, you'll see on some of the previous reports that we put out, some of the data that went out, like the new Ford's trucks that were coming out, looking mm-hmm. really close to what was coming out in China. If you look at some of our brand new aircraft that took us 20 years to design, China did it in 3. I know they're smart.
Really talented.
You know, but you know, the question is, you know, they look very similar as well. Hmm. So you got to keep these things in mind on what they're going after. Mm-hmm. And then as we get a little farther into it, we can see where do they actually make their money from? You know, because it's great if you steal it, but that's just a data file. You know, why are they doing it is mm-hmm. what we're really trying to figure out.
What kind of economic gain are they putting together with it?
Either economic, political. You know, mm-hmm. You do have hacktivisms out there, you know, where you'll get the small groups that, you know, they'll make their point. You know, mm-hmm. they can't march in their country. They might take down the power grid or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So going on next is our industries on how we're seeing the Americas, APAC, Asia PAC, and then Europe. Going through
so
here.
What are we looking at here? I see the.
So it's the chart we saw on the previous slide, okay. just broken down into these territories.
Segments,
yes.
World areas, geographic regions.
With those, if you want, I can also give you larger pictures because it's a nice eye chart.
Yeah.
You know, looking at those, but how it breaks down on that. Going further, this chart, I'm very happy about. I've been with FireEye for about four and a half years now. And when I started, it was 97% of all incidents were reported from an outside. So 97% of the industry, somebody was knocking on their door saying, hey, you've been hacked.
Okay.
Now it's 47% is from outside, and 53% is inside.
So are you going to go into this year's after this, or are you going to talk about it as we go through each one?
This is last year's. Last year's numbers from the full year.
Is that changing this year? Is that getting better? I guess it would determine what you think is better.
So better is internal. Because then these companies are actually taking care of themselves. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're always going to have hacking attempts. There's no way that that's going to go off the grid anytime mm-hmm. soon. But if you have an internal staff that can notify you.
So external is like, hey, we have credit cards being mm-hmm. stolen. We have our customers complaining. That's kind of external.
Yes. Yeah, so, if the police come to you, so the FBI does a lot of this, of mm-hmm. notifying people, because they might see, your record's on the dark web, or they'll see a transaction that they can link back to your company. Mm-hmm. Or if it's just your lucky neighbor says, by the way, I saw this happen, mm-hmm. with that. The internal, why we're happy with this is now companies are actually looking at security.
Yes.
Beforehand, yes, you had great firewalls back in the 90s that was port on or off. And taking some classes back in college, like, only block to stuff that's bad. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that they switched that to everything's off, only turn on what you need. So you at least have a little bit there. But as you see these attacks getting better over the years, mm-hmm. it's no longer your script kiddies, that are playing around with this. You now have nation states that have millions of dollars funding into them. Mm-hmm. So corporations are actually taking part into it.
So I heard that when we get to look at an overall attacks, it's because, growth is we have so much growth, not because there's so much growth, but because we're identifying more of it. There might be the same amount, we just don't know.
Yeah.
We just know we're able to identify more of it.
Yeah, and you're 100% right there, because if you're never looking for something, mm-hmm. it could be completely coming in continuously, but until you can identify it. We see a lot of, like the banking industry, okay, they're putting tons of money into it for, obvious reasons. You put $1 to $2 million in a solution, mm-hmm. you don't know exactly how much that's going to save you, but you can guess that it's going to be hundreds of millions, if not of billions of dollars. Mm-hmm. As an example, Target, when they got hit a couple of years ago, it cost them $120 million to fix what happened. Mm-hmm. As a customer, they are a customer of ours, okay? And their solution to fix it was less than $10 million. So, looking out there on, how they could have had protection and stuff like that going forward.
Okay, so a lot of that was regaining ground that they mm-hmm. had lost because of that.
Paying people for, watching their credit reports, getting mm-hmm. their name back. It's, mm-hmm. You look at businesses, they spend so much money to put money into their brand to say, hey, I'm so good, and you get one hacker comes in, and takes it all away.
They did have a big target on the front.
Yes, they did. and it was kind of funny that they were targeted, but yeah. Going on, some of the notification types, this is what I was talking about. Back in 2011, you have 94%. Okay, so we're seeing the trend that's going. You asked a question earlier, where do we see that going this year? I think it's going to kind of stay the same. In the sense that we made it over the 50% mark. So mm-hmm. we have 50% of the businesses are now notifying themselves of mm-hmm. this. It's never going to be 100% because you're still going to have, everybody's not going to put money into it. Mm-hmm. You might get another couple percentiles going forward.
So you think that's the difference between small businesses not being able to afford it and larger businesses are starting to have those internal operations?
Yeah, if you look at small businesses, okay, you have somebody that has 20 employees, mm-hmm. they might have their son or daughter that understands IT running it, which mm-hmm. is great because it keeps them up and running. But how much, are they going to actually go out and buy that $10,000, $20,000 firewall or protection when $10,000 to $20,000 is, a couple weeks worth of, income for them? Compared to larger companies.
Where are we going, or are you going, FireEye, with shared services that might cost them $20 a month?
So we're looking at a couple things with that. There's nothing that we currently have that if you have 20 people, mm-hmm. I think our smallest client is 100, just for sizing it. We are moving a lot of the stuff to the cloud, which mm-hmm. reduces the price. So you no longer have to put up this huge infrastructure. So those prices are coming down. Okay, being an SE or system engineer, we mm-hmm. don't talk pricing. Okay, that's my account manager's job. If I talk pricing, I normally add 20-30% instead of taking 20-30% off,
Gotcha. So I understand that one.
But if you look at it from a business point of view, you got a small business that's looking at, I have a computer, which is great. I have an AV suite, and there's many of them out there that you can go buy at Best Buy, Target, Office Depot and stuff. The average person thinks that's enough protection. Mm-hmm. Now, for a very small business of 20-30 people, that probably is. Also depends what you're doing.
Yeah.
If you're doing...
Let's take a break here from our sponsors. We'll be right back and continue to talk to George here.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Over 3 million data breaches happen every single day. That's over 2,000 records being compromised every minute. So often, we focus on securing web data access. But what if the attackers are already inside, having gained direct access to your storage through data management software? When it comes to communications that go directly into your storage devices, make SNIA your first line of protection. SNIA's conformance testing limits outdated communications that are known to be used by attackers. It works continuously behind the background to make sure your storage is protected. To find out if your data is truly secure, visit our website at www.snia.org/cybertest.
All right, welcome back. We're talking to George Nazare from FireEye, mm-hmm. and he has some great information here about the trends in attacks and things worldwide. And kind of going on to what we're looking at here now is DWell time. What is that?
So as we were talking earlier, how internal, external was coming about, since those times were going down, so are these. So this is dwell time. How long the hacker has been in your network before you've actually notified it. Okay, this isn't remediation.
So this is information stats that your systems keep track of?
Yes.
Okay.
So in, I think it was 2014, 2013, this was over 400. 400 days that a hacking group was in a network on average before they start going after them. So now...
So you think, this is just curiosity for me. You think as soon as you detected them, you cut them off, right? So this dwell time basically something you detected afterwards, and you're like, oh, well, they were in here for 6 months already. We went back and looked.
Yeah, so actually figuring out these numbers is actually kind of hard, okay? Yeah. Because it's the what email came in with the spearfish that started it, who brought in that USB drive, who brought something else.
So it's kind of the nature of the advanced persistent threat when they first started coming in, not like how long they've been siphoning off data.
No, it could be how much they've been siphoning data. Going with this, I mean, we're down to less than 100 days. Okay, we hit 99. Kevin Mandiant, he wants to get it down to 10 minutes. We got a couple years before that, but it's going on the idea that, we're down to 99 is the median. Mm-hmm. And we keep saying median because, we got to be those, we're those smart math people. We can't say average. We got to say medium. So we actually have somebody at 99 days. And then going forward, we can see between the different areas. And if you see, like, the Americas are going lower, okay? Europe's a little higher, and then APAC, well, we only did, about 10.
It looks like
10
we don't
other.
Have very many stats. For
no,
hours,
because they're just getting into actually calling people in external.
Gotcha.
And a couple other people think, well, they're the ones doing all the hacking. Well, not really, okay? A lot of those, the hacks in APAC are the simplest hacks to do because they're still running unpatched systems. Mm-hmm. When we do any red teaming against some of our Asian customers, it's actually very easy, because they're unpatched, they're running 2012, Windows NT servers, and it's like, we're in. Mm-hmm. So they don't even have to use advanced hacks, to
and
get
if you
want
to do some attacks from the West, you pretend like you're in the East, you log into a machine over there,
yes.
and you come back. So it could be right beside you attacking you, and it looks like it's coming from Asia.
Yeah, a lot of that is pretty much hiding yourself,
yeah.
okay, because if... Even if, let's say you're in the U.S. and you want to hack a company, well, if you came from the U.S., well, we have laws that we can, have fun with you. Mm-hmm. Over there, well, I came from Asia. Well, now you got to start following through. And I know we all watch these TV shows that they're like, oh, it's simple to follow somebody. It is kind of difficult to follow them through multiple jumps. And hacking is not the three-second thing that everybody shows you on TV.
Yeah, you see them going mad on the keyboard and, I got the hacker.
Yes.
Right, huh?
If it was that much, we wouldn't be in business,
Yeah.
So.
So you're working yourself out of business by bringing those numbers down.
Yes. So some of the trends that we've seen going on, and we're seeing that the attackers are getting smarter. And I really hate saying that, but everybody's learning as time is going on.
We're teaching them.
Yeah. I do a lot of different things with multiple universities and starting seeing kids' resumes, and they say, a hacking competition. I'm like, when I went to school, you never said that. It's like, you hacked. No, don't tell anybody you're doing that. But now it's, I won this hacking competition or this capture the flag.
We need so many people that's how we get people excited. You have to have something that's like gamification. Mm-hmm. Or else, what's fun about an industry where everybody's just quiet, sits in the corner. And you hear that so often. And now that you get to that point where we're making the fun things and getting people interested, So it's like that catch-22.
The attacking is a lot better than defending.
Yes.
Because okay? if you think about it, attacking, you can throw as many things as you want. Okay, some will get through, some won't. If you're defending, you got to block every single one.
The net. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually enjoy the defending more. Mm-hmm. So I've been a design engineer for almost my entire career. So, but you know, there's different types.
Although I do a lot with the federal government, that corporations can't attack; they can only defend.
Yeah,
you know, so they wish they had that easy button. You know, you attacked me, I can now go attack you. But but going on with the trends, we have. Like it says, they're less smash, you know, more grab. You know, they're trying to get more information. You know, they're trying to get, it's not this real simple, oh, I'm going to put it out there. 2014 was still, we were seeing some script kiddies out there. That they were, you had one or two groups out there really writing good code, you know, for these command and controls. But as things went on, they start changing. So 2015, we saw commodity malware, Poison Ivy. If you're into any type of hacking, you played around with this. It's a nice piece of software, but they're using it for the wrong reasons. With that, the backdoors, you know, are large populate servers. Okay, now now when you get to 2016, what we're seeing is they're trying to make it a little bit like the legitimate sites. You know, so they'll go hack, let's say ESPN, and put something there, and then have the command and controls go back. So if you're on a network trying to defend your company, and you see stuff going to ESPN, well, do you think that's an average, you know, average Joe is just going to go check a sports score? You know, you're not really going to be looking at that traffic as anything bad per se. So they're trying to hide that way. Some of the other techniques too is they're doing counter forensics. So they're not just, they'll break in the door, then they'll fix the door on the way out, you know, which makes it even harder to find. One of the stats that's actually not in here is 47% of the hacks we saw last year on IR responses was just using Windows tools. We never found the actual piece of malware that got the person in because they went, they cleaned it up, and they got rid of it. And you know, Microsoft's so nice to have PowerShell and all those, which was a great entity for running a large network. But you know, there's so much power into it. What you can do with it, you can actually
use it for bad.
Yes. So cyber lifecycle, won't go too much into this. If you guys are probably watching this channel, you've seen this before, if you've had it in a course. Just it's keeping the present and the lateral movement. That's the hardest thing for people to catch is the lateral movement, just because nobody really puts things between PCs. You know, you normally have stuff from the internet to your, you know, your DMZ to your desktop. Nobody puts too many things going, you know, from your PC to my PC. So that's one of the harder things to catch. Initial compromise.
I love the picture of the reference.
Well, it fits because one of the strange things we saw last year was the hackers actually giving phone support. You know, they call in and I can't give the company's name that we went to, but they clicked on the email and it was a PowerPoint presentation. The guy's, you know, was talking to the end user. It's like, oh, click on it. He goes, I can't. My company's blocking it. Oh, well, I'll give it to your Gmail account. Oh, I can't get it down. So he sends him a CD. The next day it comes in the mail and he calls him up and takes him step by step on, here's how you're giving me admin on your PC. And, you know, you just, the customer's, you know, employee actually walked him through it. And we thought that was kind of strange, but then we start looking at some of our other customers with that and start seeing the phone number that was calling from, and we found it on multiple customers.
Well, customer service, that's what they do. They help people.
Yes. So, I mean, they're very nice. They probably have the best support out there. If you saw Microsoft has this new thing that they call you and tell you that you have a problem, you know, which I think is great that they're giving back to the community that way, that they're helping you before you even know that you have a problem. So maintaining presence, we saw with the 99 days, you know, hopefully that's getting shorter. We have been seeing that. They're putting better backdoors in, you know, because if you look at some of the FireEye software that we have out there, some of our competitors, how we're scanning the box and what we're trying to see that it's on there, they got to get in before us. You know, so they're putting things on the volume boot record, okay, which is extremely difficult to actually search for, and that loads first. You know, so the second PC boots up, you went through your BIOS, now you're reading this, and they load their malware. You know, so it's before you get any type of protection out there. There are a couple things that can protect you, but the average corporation is not
doing
it.
So look for that machine that comes onto the network as you're installing the operating system.
Yes. Either that or when they actually exploit your system, they're able to overwrite that.
How often do these come in the supply chain from vendors somewhere in the package?
Well, we've seen a couple of them out there. You know, Sony a couple of years ago had a nice CD that came with, you know, malware that got pushed out there. One of the things we saw in the government A person ordered an iPad. It was delivered directly from China. Mm-hmm. It weighed 9 grams more than the average iPad because it had an additional chip in it, which was a backdoor, an actual hardware backdoor. So you got to watch where you're getting these from. I mean, actually check the MD5 checksums, you know, and kind of see where you're buying stuff from. I mean, mm-hmm. I have home surveillance cameras at home that it's on a closed network, but it's still peering out every once in a while. Mm-hmm. You know, just so, I mean, if you see Internet of Things, which we're not going to get into in this one, but there's a lot of things that are out there. You got to see where they're coming from and, you know, just things getting onto your network. Defense and a couple things really, you know, rethink some of the things that you're going after. They tell you always make your, you know, teach your staff, you know, different things. Well, that's not really best you can do. You got to automate it, you know, because mm-hmm. even the top CISOs out there or chief information officers, we've had mm-hmm. stuff that we send it out that 36% of them fell for spear phishing attacks, and they're looking at it. You know, even the smartest people in the industry are there because the types of phishing attacks that they're doing. Mm-hmm. It's no longer click here for $5 or you win the lottery. You know, they might do full recon on you and find out, oh, your daughter's at this school, send you an email that the school's on fire, click here to find out if your daughter's okay. Mm-hmm. So before your mind's even thinking, you're like, yes, I want to see if my daughter's okay, and you yep. just got infected, you know. Uh-huh. So they're getting smarter with that. So you got to be on your toes continuously. Mm-hmm. One of the newest hacks I saw out there is now just by moving the mouse over the link, because a lot of people says, oh, check the link, make sure you know if it's going to Google or if it's going to wherever, check so it.
They're using the mouse over.
The mouse over now with the Office 365, just that mouse over event, you can load malware in from doing that.
So is Microsoft going to try and fix that or change that?
Microsoft says that is part of the HTML and we're not removing that property. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes, to see how widespread. We're actually playing with some of that in our labs now. It's just kind of interesting on how to actually get that
to work.
It seems
like it's getting to the point where you just need to get links out of email.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people are trying to break down the links. A lot of our products scan the links. Mm-hmm. But even if you break it down, I mean, what a lot of companies will do is put, like, instead of being HTTP or HTTPS colon in the link, they'll change it to block. So if you click on it, it doesn't go anywhere. You have to actually copy it and paste it in. Mm-hmm. So the end user has to at least think about it. It's not mm-hmm. a simple click here and away you go.
Yeah.
Some of the other things we're looking at is, you know, profiles. As we see that our customers are getting more intelligent, they want mm-hmm. more information. You know, it's not just, oh, block this IP address. Well, why? You know, it's, well, by blocking that one, it's normally these actors behind it. Or mm-hmm. if you see some emerging threats that are out there, this is how they walk around your network. So that they want to know how. Oh, if I saw, you know.
So you're offering a service where you're collecting information.
Yes.
Is that kind of like a Threat Connect where you're giving threat information?
We're giving Threat Connect either or threat information either from, you know, MD5 checksums to you know, IP addresses to we have a nice plugin for Chrome that you click on it and it'll scan the web page that you're currently on and mm-hmm. look up all the IPs and domains and what information we have from those. Like the WannaCry one, we were able to give all information out within a day or two of it coming out, you know, and pushing that information out. And each morning we get a nice email as employees, and also if you sign up for it, like, here's what's going on. So if the Wall Street Journal has an article, our analysts will go, okay, is it on target, not on target? Hmm. And also give sources down at the bottom. And we'll also analyze our competitors too, in a sense, if they put a blog out, like, okay, yeah, they're on target. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just trying to...
So the information you're keeping, I'm stepping back and saying, mm-hmm. you're gathering information on mm-hmm. what people are looking on a website. Are you databasing that at FireEye? So you have
yes.
user profiles and what people are doing online? And
so we gather information from our incident response. So mm-hmm. we gather all this, you know, from this report and stuff like that. We're gathering that. From our appliances that are out there, we're gathering information as well. Mm-hmm. Okay, the tool I was telling you about, we don't care when you click on that button. Okay, we're not profiling that user because that's actually to get information from there. We purchased a company 2 years ago, 2 years ago called iSight. Mm-hmm. And iSight is, if you rank among intelligent agencies worldwide, it's about number 7. Mm-hmm. So it's better than some, you know, second and third world countries on IT level with it. Because we are going out on the dark web finding these things. Mm-hmm. We do find a lot of 0 days before they hit. Okay, we don't know where they're going, we just know that they exist. Okay. You know, and out there, and we're seeing people barter with those. Mm-hmm. So next year in the MTrends report, you'll actually get some more of that information in there because it, with them being on board, and we're finally fully integrating them into the system. Two other things I want to go before we wrap up. Threat hunting, you know mm-hmm. how we were talking. Like,
Nesca was asking if you're connecting to threat hunting as part of your services?
Yes. Okay. So as you're saying, you know, defending's okay, kind of cool, but you know, you want people out there to do some fun stuff. So a lot of where we're seeing shifts is people are actually searching their network. You know, it's not the, oh, okay, my house is on fire, I call the fire department. They're going out putting in fire safety and stuff like that. So, and this really gets your IT staff excited or your forensic group excited going, okay, I can go find this on the network, you know, so they can play in like internal games and stuff like that. You know, they can do their own red teaming against your own companies and stuff like that. So this is what's making them want to come to work, you know, instead of the, oh, I'm looking at my firewall logs, I'm looking at my Splunk journals and everything like that. Yeah, that's interesting, but how can I, you know, be more proactive instead of reactive?
So what trends do you see people going to the cyber hunting versus kind of the passive?
The more advanced companies, we'll see a lot of that in financial. Really, how we look at it is who has the most to lose. Okay, if you look at a lot of the government contracts with engineering, you know, they're constantly going through their networks, seeing what's out there. You're seeing also on commercial side, we're seeing a lot of retailers doing it as well. If not to name companies, but you get some companies that are like, yes, I really care about my customers' information. Others are like, yeah, okay, we have it in a database somewhere. You know, trying to figure out how we can actually help our customers. You know, we can come in, you know, do some red teaming. We can either do tabletop red teaming so we don't even touch the systems. One of our most successful one is a industry company kept on getting hit every 3 to 4 months from the same hacking group. So we sat down with them, we act like that hacking group with them, and in a matter of a year, they were able to stop them from coming in because they got the learning, you know, they got the people
on
board.
Okay.
So a couple of things, you know, some tactics, you know, normal stuff, you know, passwords and everything like that. You know, don't keep.
We've been harping on that for a long time. Why hasn't that? Why are we still needing to be there?
I mean, two-factor authentication is getting there, but people look at it as it's a pain. I mean, if you look at, I mean, just look at our credit cards, and now we have the chip involved. Well, if you go outside the U.S., that chip actually works because there's a pin that you type in and it takes it off there. Visa and MasterCard don't want to put that pin on for the U.S. because they said it's going to be too complicated and not make it nice for the end user's experience. So they're walking around. We have the security there. We just don't want to implement it.
And backward compatible to no security is no security.
Yeah, you know. So, I mean.
I know that one. But anyway, kind of we're getting to time here. But tell me what types of things FireEye does, what kind of services, solutions you have. So if our customers want to want some help in these areas, they can reach out to you and how they get in contact with you guys.
So we do a bunch of different things. I mean, from a server side, if you're brand new, you know, your company's just growing, we can help you create a SOC or a security operations center. You know, go give you a 3 to 5 year plan out from that so you can, you know, figure out your budget going with there. If you're a larger company, you know, we can give you free assessments. We do POVs or proof of values, you know, so you can actually play around with our gear. We are going virtualized on a lot of it. Reason why we're not 100% virtualized yet is we run a lot of hypervisors, so hypervisors on top of hypervisors. If you're any computer guys out there, that's fun trying to get the two of them to run correctly. But I mean, we can go anywhere from small business all the way up to very large companies. We just about every single protocol we give some type of protection on. If you're looking for threat intel, again, we have a bunch of different areas of that. If you happen to be hit by, you know, hackers and stuff, you know, you can go to our website.
You have emergency response.
Yes. Normally, anywhere in the U.S., we can be there within a day. Worldwide, really depends where it's at, but you know, we normally get there within like 2 days of what's going on.
Well, thanks, George, and thanks. FireEye, one of the leading cyber companies, I'd say, in the world. So thank you very much for joining today, and definitely took a lot from this. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
The views or opinions expressed by me during this podcast are my own and are not those of my employer, Colorado Technical University.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.